Word this evening, Book of Psalm. As I was praying when Pastor asked if I wouldn't speak tonight, first I told him no, that's not true, I did not. I was praying about what God would have me say tonight in the first direction that I thought the Spirit might be leading me, I was really excited about because it seemed okay. And then the more I got to praying, the Lord threw out a subject at me, and I thought, oh my. And so you pray for me tonight that the Lord would be able to use this for His honor and for His glory. You say, well, Brother Dan, I'm kind of curious. Well, if you have your bulletin, or if you took your prayer bullet tonight, you know what we're going to be talking about. I love the subject, the all-knowing God. The all-knowing God. You know, something that really strikes me, this happens almost every week. I'm amazed at how much God is interested in the details. And then with each individual, God is also very personal. And so many times there are things that will happen in our lives, and God will do something that only we can know that it came from Him. Very, very, very personal. He's a very personal God, and I love that about Him. The book of Psalm, chapter 147, and verse 5, we'll read this verse, and then we'll get started. Psalm 147 and verse 5 says this, "Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite." And that verse is very key to our message tonight when it says His understanding, what He knows, is infinite. Just like He is infinite, what He knows is also infinite. Father, I pray that You'd bless this message. Lord, I know that You asked me to speak on this subject tonight, and I just pray that You'd be able to use me for Your honor and for Your glory. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You'd speak through me tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In His compelling classic work, The Knowledge of the Late, The Knowledge of the Holy is a book that was written by the late A.W. Tozier. He wrote the following powerful words, which will serve as an introduction to what we know to be an attribute of whom we will speak of this evening. And he stated this, "The church has surrendered her once lofty concept of God and has substituted for it one so low, so ignoble as to be utterly unworthy of thinking, worshiping men. This she has not done deliberately," he said, "but little by little and without her knowledge, and her unawareness only makes her situation all the more tragic. Tonight, I would submit to you that there is a crisis of faulty understanding of the true nature of Almighty God. We would do well at times as we're speaking to folks that they would know who God is even today." Tozier went on to say, "What comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. No people ever risen above its religion. There's no people that it's ever risen above its religion. And no religions have ever been greater than its idea of God. He said, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. We tend, he said, by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. To believe that God is other than he is, that, he says, is heresy of the most insidious and deadly kind. And so tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit of God would have me share just a very small understanding into one of the phenomenal attributes of Almighty God. And we know that God has many attributes. And to talk about him, this is not something that you can do in a single setting. He's an amazing God that we serve. And it is amazing fact that he would even choose to send his son because he loves us so much. The attributes of God describe the essential nature of who God is. They are, very simply put, the character traits of God. And each attribute is held in absolute perfection and absolute harmony and balance with all other attributes of God. There is no conflict within the divine nature. Each attribute of God, such as his love, is also infinite in nature. And since every attribute is held in absolute perfection, attributes are sometimes called the perfections of God. I love that term, the perfections of God. One of those perfections of the only true God is the perfection of omniscience. Omniscience. I've heard that word thrown around a lot here lately. And it seems as though in our Christian world today, there seems to be a little bit of confusion about our omniscient God. So omniscience defined, and if you have your notes, you'll probably see I just listed that title, and then we'll get into some stuff later. But omniscience defined, by omniscient we mean God is all-knowing, has always perfectly known all that can be known. That is what we mean by an omniscient God. Allow me to elaborate a little. Number one, God has, without the need for learning or observing or having caused anything, God has absolute, perfect, and total knowledge of all that has been, that is, that will be, that could have been, and that can be. That's a lot to wrap your brain around, I know, especially on a Wednesday night after a full day of work. But that is who God is. God possesses, without prior discovery of facts, he possesses complete and universal knowledge of all things past, present, and future. All things. Another thing, an interesting thought here is that God cannot learn, for he already knows all that there is to know or to be known. God never has, never will, and actually cannot learn, for to learn would imply that there's been a time at which God did not know all. Did you get that? Isn't that wonderful? To know that about God? God's knowledge, it encompasses not only all that actually has been, all that is, and all that will be, but also all that ever could have been in the past or could be in the future. Again, as I was studying for this, in order to give a proper view of what omniscience is, I don't know that my little peanut brain can wrap around everything that is involved with the fact of God knowing all. But it's a wonderful thing, amen? Now, may I explain it this way? We can grasp in some small way the possibility of God's total and immediate knowledge when we understand His eternality, the fact that He is eternal. He has always and will always exist. That is another one of His beautiful attributes. It is His omnipresence. He has been, He is, and will always be everywhere at the same time. Now, this goes totally against who we are. We are limited as humans. We are limited with time. We are finite. We have a beginning. We have an end. God does not. He does not. And so He has been, He is, will always be everywhere at the same time. And so a lot, if we were to look and think about His transcendence over time, God has already lived all of our tomorrows. Now, how's that for a thought? Which is why we see encouragement in His Word that don't fret about tomorrow. Because being an infinite God and having the ability to transcend over time, having no limits like we do with time, past, present, or future, it's really not a big deal to God. And I don't mean that in a light way. It's just not a big deal to God. Because He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. Ultimately, however, God's knowledge of all is rooted not in His experience. And this is very important. What God knows is not based on something that He has been through. And I know that when Christ came to earth and as a all fully God and fully man, He experienced what we experience. I get that. But what God knows is not based on what He experienced. As an eternal and omnipresent being, it's not based on His experience, but it's based in His own nature. It's who He is. It's not. It's who He is. It's not what He's done. We base things, and our knowledge many times is generated by things that have been poured into us from when we're very young. We go to school, seems like forever, and then if you want. A certain occupation, it seems like you go an extra forever to school, and all this is being poured in, and everything that your parents pour into you, and then add to that some stuff that we probably didn't need that our friends pour into us, and then you have everything coming at you from all sides. All that added with experience brings about what we have as knowledge. God does not depend on that for what He knows. It's who He is. It's not what He's done. Also, God innately knows all things without the need to learn or to view or to experience them. He therefore perfectly knows not only all that ever has been or will be, but also all that could be or might have been. And you've heard this come up repeatedly this evening. And it's done that way specifically. So let's clarify. Whew, please do, Brother Dan. Much confusion, debate, and misunderstanding has surrounded the nature of God's omniscience, His all-knowing concerning the future. It is very interesting. Or what some term as God's foreknowledge. Interesting to me, I don't know about to you, but they're only interested in what He knows for the future, not necessarily what happened already in the past or even what's going on in the present. They're very interested in the future. The question has long been asked, if we cannot choose other than what God already knows we will choose, then are we truly able to choose? I'll read that one more time. If we cannot choose other than what God already knows that we're going to choose, then are we truly able to choose? That seems to be the hang-up. That seems to be the difficulty in people's minds. And some have imagined that the solution to this apparent conflict between God's foreknowledge and man's free will, because we do know that when God made us, just like in the Garden of Eden, He made Adam and Eve with a free will. Each, you and I, we have that tonight. So we have a hard time coupling that with everything that He knows. But the conflict between His foreknowledge and man's free will is to conclude that man cannot choose. In essence, they have concluded that God knows all. And here's the hang-up. Because they say that He causes all. The issue has been debated for centuries and has resulted in an erroneous view of foreknowledge. Now you're knowing why I was wondering why God had me talk about this tonight. This faulty view of foreknowledge states that God cannot know what He does not cause, and therefore, to know all things, He must cause all things. This was the conclusion of a very well-known individual that we have issues with because much of what he put out is not biblical. A guy by the name of John Calvin in the 1500s, in his writings, The Institutes of Christian Religion, Calvin states that God foresees the things which are to happen simply because He has decreed that they are so to happen. That's what it states. A common view among these false theologians is that foreknowledge does not mean to foreknow, but rather to forecause. And this false view of omniscience is then used to defend the false doctrine of God's unconditional election. Are you with me tonight? Okay. The problem is that if God cannot know all unless He causes all things, then He cannot foreknow the sinful choices of men and angels unless He causes all of these sinful choices. You see where we're headed here? And this is a ploy and a very deceptive plot of Satan to confuse mankind, specifically those that are saved as well. So this conclusion blasphemously makes God the author of sin. And I did say, blasphemously makes God the author of sin, this conclusion, and indeed of all sin. So what does it do? It totally destroys the holiness of God Almighty. This is precisely what that individual taught in his institutes, even going so far as to blame God for Adam's sin. And this false view of God's omniscience reflects an inadequate view of Almighty God. A God who cannot know what he does, not cause, is less than the God of the Bible. And this fallacious view of God does not understand his transcendence over time or his innate omniscience. God does not need to cause or observe in order to know. This fallacious view as well is then used to argue that those of us that don't believe that false doctrine, or what some would term as non-Calvinist, cannot believe in God's omniscience and therefore hold a lower view of God. But a true view of omniscience, however, does not require God to have caused in order to know. And it is those false believers who hold this lesser view of omniscience that hold the lower view of God. They try to spin it and make us that believe what the Bible says and what is proven in God's nature, they try to spin it to make us look like we're holding a lower view of who God is, when in fact, it is they who hold the lower view of God. Because my God does not cause sin. That is totally against Scripture. A God who cannot know what he does, not cause, does not have infinite knowledge. And let me tell you something. My God has infinite knowledge. Amen? Are you with me? All right, so let's wrap this up. The aspects of omniscience. God sees everything. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are where? They are in every place. And he beholds everything, the evil and the good." Number two, God knows everything. From the smallest details. Psalm 147:4, the hairs on our head are numbered. To the grandest truth, the Bible says, he telleth the numbers of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. He has named every star. How many stars are there? I don't know. There's millions, yea, billions of stars. He has named every single one. The Bible says in Matthew 10, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered?" And for some of us, that's an easy job for God. I realize that. Brother Craig, amen. We were talking about that the other day. Not only does he see everything, not only does he know everything, but God perfectly knows every person on earth. Perfectly. For sake of time, I'll not have time to look at these references, which is why I included it on your sheet. Every thought of man, if you're filling in the blanks, every thought of man in Psalm 139. He says in 139 as well, every idle word, even the idle words, every work of man. For those of you that may not think that God notices what you do, He does notice what you do. He knows who you are. If He is willing and able to name every star, don't you tell me for a second that He doesn't know your name. Amen. Don't you tell me for a second that He doesn't know every thought that goes through your head. He doesn't know every concern that you have. He doesn't know every prayer that you may not even be able to mention. And He includes in His words that those prayers that you can't even verbalize, He carries it. The Holy Spirit, He sends the Holy Spirit to carry it to the Father. Amen. Every sorrow and tear, every need in our lives, Matthew 6:32, He says, your heavenly Father knows of that need. Every heart that is devoted to Him, He knows. Every weakness in our lives, He knows that. When we're too ashamed to admit it, we don't like to talk about it, He knows what our weaknesses are. Every foolish act and every foolish thought, He knows, according to Psalm 69:5. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. I love that. He knows every one of His sheep. So Acts 15:18 says that God perfectly knows the past, the present, and the future. And then to wrap it up tonight, God perfectly knows all that is, all that could have been, and all that can be. Matthew chapter 11. I love how this phrases it. And it took me a brief moment when I was reading this verse in Matthew 11:23. I love what it says, though. He says, and thou, these are words of Christ, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. He knew what could have been had Sodom changed their ways. Why? He knows all. That is why tonight God asked me to speak on the all-knowing God, the omniscient God, my God. And I pray that He is your God tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I know this was a little heavy tonight. There was a lot of detail. At least you wonder, the God of the Bible is an all-knowing, omniscient God. And though many have tried to take that perfect attribute of His, and they've tried to taint it, and they've tried to change it, I pray tonight that you will have settled in your heart, according to Scripture, who God is and what Scripture says about this attribute. If you're here tonight, or perhaps you're listening online, and you don't know this wonderful, all-knowing, all-powerful God, He knows your name as well. In fact, He knows that you need a Savior. He knew that way ahead of time, so He sent His Son to pay the sacrifice for your sin, for my sin, because he knew you would need a Savior. My prayer tonight is that you would reach out and accept that gift from an all-knowing, perfect God who loved you so much that he provided salvation for you. It's done. It's completed. He's paid the price. All you need to do is accept and put your faith and trust in Christ. And I pray that you'll do that tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for being omniscient God. Thank you for being perfect in your attributes. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being my God. I pray for those tonight that perhaps had doubts regarding this issue, this attribute. Lord, I pray that you will have settled that in their heart. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for being with us. As the instruments play a hymn of invitation, I don't know what the Holy Spirit might have spoken to you about tonight, but if you'd like to use the altar, you're welcome to do that. Maybe you'd like to make an altar right there in your pew. It'd be a great time to thank the Lord for his nature and thank him for being God. I am so glad that he is God and I'm not. I can just tell you that. And I'm so glad that as God, he is omniscient. Thank you so much. You may look this way at this time. We're going to wait for just a split moment. And we would like to show our missionary.